Welcome to the Lundbeck Institute Campus Podcast. Lundbeck Institute Campus provides learning and teaching resources for psychiatrists, neurologists, and for healthcare professionals with a special interest in these areas.
During this podcast, we will refer to various supporting diagrams and figures for reference. If you are listening to the audio podcast, these can be found at institute.progress.im under the category features, or you can simply follow the link found in the show notes on your podcast player to go directly to the article. Why we should treat faster, treat better, and treat longer. Professor Philip Gorewood of the University Paris Descartes Hospital Saint-Anne gave a seminar on the neurotoxicity of depressive episodes at the Lundbeck Institute in Copenhagen in June 2014. He presented evidence that neurotoxicity is clinically and therapeutically relevant. To improve the long-term prognosis of a major depressive episode, clinicians should aim to reduce the duration of untreated illness, treat faster, focus on the quality of remission without tolerating partial response, treat better, and prevent recurrence, treat longer. Improve the long-term prognosis of MDD. Treat faster. In a seminal study, De Diego Adelino and colleagues concluded that early treatment of first depressive episodes is important since better response is achieved with a shorter duration of untreated illness. They looked at the effect of the duration of untreated episode, DUE or DU, on the rate of treatment response, time to attain a sustained response, and rate of MDD remission. 141 patients with MDD were grouped into long and short duration of untreated episode, with long duration of untreated episode defined as more than 8 weeks. A great percentage of patients with a short duration of untreated episode achieved a sustained response, and these patients attained a sustained response more quickly than long duration of untreated episode patients. Sustained response rate decrease with longer duration of untreated illness. Take a listen to Professor Gorewood.
That's just the same way of seeing the importance of the length of the episode to understand the treatment success. It's another way to see that, looking at a total sample, but comparing those with getting to full remission compared to sustained remission. And as you can see, the duration of untreated psychosis has a specific impact on it. So for those first episodes, those with a short duration of untreated episode is the darker boxes, and they are higher. So that means that with shorter episode, you have higher chances to get to remission, even on the first episodes.
A long-term study of 94 patients with MDD reported that the duration of depression before recovery predicted the amount of time the patient would be free from symptoms over the next 10 years. Don't wait and see. Lost chances. Gorewood highlighted a study that suggests that the approach of wait and see does not benefit patients. The investigators plotted the mean social and occupational functioning assessment scale, SOFAS, scores over time by early and later remission. Both groups achieved remission by the end of the study, but the quality of remission was different. Early remission was associated with rapid function recovery, and these patients had a 10-point higher SOFAS score at 12 months. The difference in the SOFAS scores between the early and later remission groups represents a lost chance of full recovery that means a lot to patients. Patients want to feel that they are as good as they were before. Treat better. The sequence treatment alternatives to relieve depression, STAR-D study, used a series of treatment trials over up to 4 treatment steps to define the tolerability and effectiveness of various options in both acute and long-term treatment. Remission rates decreased with each step, from 37% in phase 1 to 13% in phase 4 treatment. This study demonstrates the importance of maximizing the efficacy of first-line treatment to improve the chance of achieving remission. Chances of remission decreases with each treatment step. Cognitive consequences. Depression is associated with several cognitive deficits, including impaired working memory, executive function, episodic memory, and processing speed. Cognitive dysfunction in MDD. Neurotoxicity of MDE, cognitive consequences. A study of more than 8,000 outpatients suggests that capacity for delayed recall declined steadily with the number of previous depressive episodes. Among 1,800 depressed patients in remission who had responded within 6 weeks, the number of recalled words was related to the number of previous episodes. Delayed recall capacities fell by 2-3% for each prior episode. Neurotoxicity of MDE, cognitive consequences. Neurobiological relevance. A meta-analysis of 12 studies concluded that depressed patients have a smaller hippocampus than healthy controls, and this may be due to repeated periods of major depressive disorder. Stockmeyer and colleagues reported cellular changes in the postmortem hippocampus in major depression. In subjects with MDD, hippocampal sections collected at postmortem were shrunk in depth a significant 18% more than in control subjects. Left hippocampal volume in patients with depression relative to comparison subjects. Shaleen and colleagues reported a link between depression duration and loss of hippocampal volume. MRI was carried out on 24 women with a history of recurrent major depression and 24 case-matched controls. Subjects with a history of depression had smaller hippocampal volumes than controls, and there was a significant correlation between hippocampal volume and total lifetime duration of depression. Take a listen to Professor Gorwood.
So yes, being depressed when you look at the brain means smaller hippocampus. That's the study also that Dan has been showing this morning, showing that when you have more time being depressed, you have smaller hippocampus size. It's a nice study because for some of these patients, they never were depressed. And for some of the patients, they spent 10 years of their life being depressed. So large variance. And the correlation is extremely high. It means an R-square of 40%, exactly the one we saw before. So apparently these time being depressed during your whole lifetime is really involved in the size of the hippocampus. Of course, as you know, the memory, and especially delayed memory, the one we tested in our sample, reflects very directly the hippocampus, not the prefrontal cortex.
In a longitudinal study, Frodel et al. Used MRI to compare the brains of patients with major depression with those of healthy control subjects. Compared with controls, patients had a significant decline in gray matter density in the hippocampus, left amygdala, anterior cingulum, and right dorsomedial prefrontal cortex. Interestingly, they also observed this decline in gray matter density in non-remitted versus remitted patients, suggesting that brain decline can be stopped. This highlights the urgency to treat early and effectively to achieve remission. Hippocampal volume decreases with the number of days being depressed decline in gray matter volume in MDD patients compared with healthy controls. Treat longer. Increased recurrence rate, acquired vulnerability. An old study, but the best of its type, looked at 22 years of data on the whole nation of Denmark to understand the rate of depression recurrence. This case register study included depression-related hospital admissions during 1971 to 1993. The rate of recurrence increased with the number of previous episodes, from about 15% with no previous episodes to 60% after two previous episodes. After the 10th episode, there was 100% risk of experiencing another recurrence. This study highlights that the course of depression is progressive, and that it is important to prevent relapse and recurrence. Recurrence worsens with time. Partial remission is the enemy, tell your patients. Don't let your patients stop treatment if they feel a bit better but have not reached full remission. If they have not returned to their normal self, for example, if concentration and sleep are still a problem, then treat for longer. Stopping early reduces the chances of full recovery. Gorwood emphasized the need to share information about the toxicity of depressive episodes with patients. Armed with a better understanding of the importance of treatment for long-term recovery, patients will have the incentive to make their own decision to commit to treatment. Take a listen to Professor Gorewood.
So I would conclude on the fact that treating early, effectively, and for a long enough period of time, up to full remission, I didn't insist on that, but partial remission is the enemy because the patient feels better, he is better. So he says, thank you, doctor, it was great. But in fact, concentration, sleep, not as good as before. But this means that the process is keeping, and that means also we are reducing chances to get to full remission. So we should never accept it.
Conclusions. How could we prevent the toxicity of depressive episodes? To improve the long-term prognosis of a major depressive episode, we should treat faster, reduce the duration of untreated illness. Treat better. Focus on the quality of remission. Do not tolerate partial response. Treat longer. Prevent relapse and recurrence.
Thank you for listening. Please explore our article and slide libraries, image bank, and visualizing medicine library at institute.progress.im. Sign up for our newsletter and receive relevant articles directly to your inbox at institute.progress.im.